Today's program is brought to you by S. Wallace Edwards & Sons, third-generation cure masters producing the country's best dry-cured and aged hams, bacon, and sausage. For more information, visit edwardsvaham.com.
Hi, this is Joe Campanelli, the host of In the Drink. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Welcome to another week of The Main Course. I'm Alexis McLaughlin, here always with Philip Gilmore.
Good morning.
Sitting in for Patrick Martins forever.
Forever.
Today we have in studio Ted Limpert, the handsome, semi, a little bit famous, wonderfully talented.
You can stop at hand. It's just handy.
Handy.
Maybe a little bit. But handsome, or maybe just some.
Same. Some Ted, hands.
The some hands.
Actor, musician, comedian.
Do a bunch of stuff.
Do a bunch of stuff. Brooklyn.
Eater of food. That's how I got on here.
Food lover.
Food love. I would say I love food.
This is technically a food show, so yeah. You qualify to be on here.
I don't know.
Just
it's making me hungry.
Barely.
I'm watching all these people eat pizza. It's kind of killing me.
Oh, it's messy. Oh, we can order in some pizza.
What?
In the studio.
Yeah.
Hello? Hello?
Can I make this happen?
Yeah.
Are you guys done with this winter yet?
Oh, man.
I'm over it.
Yeah.
I can't do anymore. I'm going crazy.
Yeah. It's been the worst winter ever.
Yeah.
We're from Florida. We should not. I'm speaking to Phil on this because he's from West Palm or the East Coast. I'm from the West Coast. But we weren't built for this kind of weather.
You always get people like from Minneapolis and Chicago and Wisconsin. They're like, oh, the New York winters aren't so bad. It's like, it is not applied this month.
No, not at all.
February, like 10 below and 50 below is the same. You know, it's not.
Well, I just love when they're like, it's like 5 degrees out, but it feels like -20.
The humidity.
Yeah, it's like, yeah.
Well, that's what it is on the East Coast. It's cutting. It just goes through your jackets and the dampness in the air.
I hate cold legs.
Yeah.
That's like the worst thing.
Double pants.
My legs are cold. I know. I always wear my long johns, and I get made fun of for them, people that get to see those.
I like wearing long johns with basketball shorts.
Yeah, me too. That's
my go-to jam.
I love that. People are like, what are you wearing? It's like, this is in. Yeah. You don't understand. I'm all about fashion, and I'm all about food.
And I'm all about Uggs, and I don't care. I wear my Uggs with pride.
Yeah. Phil's the kind of guy that you definitely see on the corner wearing basketball shorts, long johns, and like Uggs. A pink unicorn beanie.
Hey.
Oh, we're being waved at. I don't know them, do you?
No.
Maybe he knows you from your hit YouTube video.
My hit YouTube video. I'm a YouTube D-list celebrity.
Nice.
Yeah. That just happened.
Yeah.
What is it exactly?
It's called the Ultimate Dad Joke Duel, Pun Slingers, and it's just about two dads that face off in a tchotchkes type restaurant. And they just tell dad jokes back and forth. And it flips back and forth between like real time and then Western. Whenever they say a dad joke, it flips into.
I just read a dad Western. Joke this morning. Maybe you guys have it on there. It's the what's the difference between my pizza joke and my pizza jokes and pizza? My pizza jokes can't be topped. that's a dad joke,
that's
right?
Good. That's good.
My dad, this isn't in the thing, but my grandpa would always put down his gas card when he was paying for a meal. Like, do you take the gas card? And meal gave me gas, and that was always charming. Maybe not hilarious, but
what's can you give us a dad joke from the
thing? Well, there's my favorite one, the one that I deliver so eloquently is my son goes, my son in the thing, I'm just play a dad on YouTube. I'm not really a dad. But my son goes, my fake son says, hey, come on, dad, I'm hungry. And I go, "Oh, nice to meet you, Hungry. I'm Dad." Yeah. And then he goes, "Ah, come on, Dad, I'm serious." And I go, "Serious? I thought you were hungry." Boom.
It's so stupid, but I laugh every time.
It's wonderful. And people are probably, you know, just like, drooling with laughter. I don't know what the extreme laughter is, no?
I think you pee your pants with laughter.
Oh, pee your pants, yeah. I was going to say, you know, pooping themselves, but I don't know if that's appropriate.
It's not. Well, now you've already kind of said
it's too late.
So
I'll just ask if things are appropriate and try and, like, maybe I'll do some charades because I can't, you know, like.
Is it a series or?
I think we should make a sequel. No, it's just sort of like a one-off sketch.
And it has like a 500,000 hits or something?
Yeah, it has like a quarter of a million. We're getting up there. You know, trying. Every day is another, you know, I try to go to like the libraries around town and like watch it on all the computers.
Nice.
Yeah. I showed a few people before it came out, and I made them sign a contract that they had to watch it again when it was out on the YouTubes.
Well, I always like to over-exaggerate because everybody at Heritage makes fun of me because I'm like, oh, yeah, I have this radio show, and yeah, it's like the first show, and now there's like 70 or 80, and I think it's like 46.
47. No, still, every time you exaggerate, there's 35 or 39 weekly shows.
Yeah, and I always say, yeah,
which
I think there's 70
number.
Or 80 now.
Yeah, there's like 100 shows.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Is this like the 100th show? Am I in the 100th show?
Oh, no, there's over 200 and...
There's over 4,000.
I don't know. Maybe Liz can get us. Liz is our dedicated engineer.
We're coming up on our 20-year anniversary.
This will be your... This is your 230th.
Oh, my God. Wow, that's more than 70?
No, wow. No. We're saying there's a total shows, weekly shows.
Oh.
There's 40 different shows a week.
Oh, that's...
That number fluctuates a little bit. And then this show has... Yeah, 230 episodes under its belt.
Happy 230. Congratulations, yeah.
You think it'd be more fine-tuned by now, an eloquent way to say that.
Fine-tuned? This is fine.
What is the 230th anniversary gift? Is it like a orchid?
No,
fern?
A fern?
Paper, gold, glass, yeah. And then.
What can you do? Like when you're 18, you can vote. When you're 21, you can drink. What can you do when you're 230? Probably not much. Because... I don't know if anybody's made it that far. But,
press the button for Jello.
It's next to the morphine button.
Oh, man. That would be so great if I was 230 years old. Just had to press, that's something you get.
Well, I think that's the conflict in vampire movies. Like, okay, I've been alive, you know, since the Civil War.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm ready to die.
All right. That's true, yeah. That would be such a scary life, being alive.
Immortality?
Forever. Yeah.
I love, did you guys see Let the Right One In?
Yeah.
I mean, I love that concept that she, you know, she finds like her current soulmate who's also like 13.
Yeah.
And then it kind of insinuates that 13-year-old grows up to be like 50 or 60, dies, and then she finds another 13-year-old.
Yeah. That's...
Man, vampires live a lonely life.
I know.
I can say that from experience because I watch a lot of Buffy.
I was going to say, are you a vampire?
No.
Speaking
about tarot or movie plots,
what
were you going on about before the show started?
Snowpiercer. Have you ever seen Snowpiercer?
It's great.
You like it?
It's actually. I have my girlfriend Jordan is, you know, such a rock in my life, and so I actually have her in my phone as Snowpiercer.
That's awesome.
She helps me break through the.
It's Snowpiercer because the train. There are all these people on a train, right?
Yeah, but there's the whole Earth is frozen, so it constantly runs on this track, and there's always going to be parts that have frozen over, and this train can break through any sort of iceberg or.
And so it's a Snowpiercer as a train. I had a different experience with it. I don't want to give anything away, but I'm going to give everything away. So close your ears for the next 5 minutes because I'm going to give. But my favorite part, and I was inspired earlier because I saw. A woman walked by the window with a baby, and I think the best part in the whole thing is when Chris Evans says he's having this like emotional monologue, this like climactic point in the movie, and he's really sad about this memory he has from when the world first started ending, and he just like ends it with he's like, and I found out that babies taste the best. And it was just like so hard. But he's like, you know, this is hurts him that he ate a baby. It hurts. I'm just like, congratulations, bro. Like, that is something to be proud of, I think. You know, like, why are you so sad? This has, like, been eating you up inside for, like, the last, like, 5 years after the world ended.
Another spoiler alert, that happened, I think, right after they find out that the last 10 years they've been eating, like, roach puree.
Yeah, exactly. Just, like, bugs ground up. Yeah.
Wait, are these people stuck on the train? I have not seen the movie, and I'm why is there cannibalism?
So the world ended. I mean, obviously, I'm just waiting for the world to end because I can't wait to eat a person.
Yeah,
I'm just like, I think we were talking about this on the train that, like, you know, apparently you're not supposed to eat animals that eat meat, I guess. Mm-hmm. Not supposed to eat carnivores. So that's first of all why I'm a carnivore. I eat meat, so nobody's eating this guy.
Yeah.
But I'm just going to start picking off vegetarians like nobody's business. As soon as the world ends, I'm just waiting until it's cool. You know, that's when it's going to be okay.
Well, it's such a conflict because the vegans have less meat, but is it a cleaner meat?
That's true. And like I'm going to make sure I'm going to find the ones that have like you know. Don't eat gluten. Don't eat, you know, all the like.
See, I want someone that has like a really carb heavy diet. I want like an oat fed person.
Oh, all right. Is that why you get to have Cheerios in the closet? Because you don't need them. I know. You're just fattening us up for the end of the world. Yeah, but that was the whole. Yeah, there's like food in that movie. I feel like is a big thing because they eat like roach jello.
I love
the end of the world that you have to contend with is. I don't know, eating food.
Yeah. What do you eat? But where do they get the bugs from? I forget. Is it, they show that in there?
They just recreate.
They recreate them. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I do have a problem with the sushi scene. You know, I own a sushi restaurant.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So they make this beautiful piece of nigiri sushi, and then they put wasabi on the side.
Yeah.
And that presentation, the wasabi would already be on the rice. They would never put the wasabi on the side.
Oh, man.
And it was a huge pile for this one little piece of nigiri. I had a huge... They should have brought me in to consult.
You should have been there supervising that script. Yeah. That's,
that would never happen. Yeah, yeah. That amount of wasabi for that little piece of nigiri wouldn't happen.
Well, that's funny because I own a roach restaurant, and I was really upset with how they served those roaches. Because honestly, you would never grind them up in a blender. You gotta use a mortar and pestle, you know, to really get those suckers down. Make that jello. Make that roach jello. Oh man!
Look at this shirt.
I know that is. Oh, that's awesome.
Who's on that? Is that a wrestler?
I think it's maybe a famous sumo wrestler.
What's
this girl has a bright pink shirt on with a life-size sumo wrestler on the shirt.
Can we spend an entire episode with our chairs facing out of the studio? So the studio has this big window, and it looks out onto a dining area in Roberta's. Can we just, like, describe the scene?
We could do like a fake fashion show, like a red carpet, and then analyze everybody.
But like no one knows they're on it.
I'm pretty sure that gentleman is wearing a vintage Levi Strauss jeans, jean jacket.
I like the cut of his jib.
Is that a Marty McFly down puffy vest over it too?
Definitely.
Wow.
Yeah. That's really nice.
A little Carmen like Sandiego like thing going on with his date.
What's up, Alex P. Keaton?
Can they hear us in there? Are they listening to the show?
No.
Well, we don't think there might be somebody with like a superhero, like daredevil hearing.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
We could do an experiment. We could go around and be like, look at that guy with the white hair and the black glasses.
It's just so somebody stupid. Turns around and then somebody just like locks eyes with us. Yeah. Oh, man. Well, I was talking about eating that woman's baby and like she was not heard a thing. But the baby, I think, did look over.
Yeah.
That's like, what's that movie where the babies are like super smart? Like,
do you know? Oh, it has
with
like
Bruce
babies.
Willis.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, no, no.
No, no, no. It's like... Baby genius or something.
Baby genius.
Like, yeah.
Well, there's also Look Who's Talking.
Look Who's Talking. Yeah. No, that's
John Travolta.
That's a little better one. Yeah. But
I think Look Who's Talking too. They brought in Roseanne Barr as the annoying little girl baby.
Oh yeah. That's a good choice. But yeah, no, I'm like I said, just waiting for a chance to. I think it should be a source of pride if you've eaten a baby. You know, out of like having to. You know, you had to. You had no other choice. Right?
I don't know if it's... I don't... I mean...
It's like, yeah, I ate a baby.
Yeah?
And they taste real good.
Well, I mean, people have done it, I guess.
I guess so. I don't know.
Where are you from, by the way?
I'm from Syracuse, New York.
Wow.
Upstate. Yeah, so I stayed in the state.
I was just upstate for the first time ever.
Yeah?
Yeah. I went up
doing
by...
What?
visiting the Amish.
Actually, my family has a cabin on Lake Ontario, and we often drive up there, and the Amish have a little like stand that they sell bread and milk, I think, or like
furniture.
Yeah, furniture. I think they do. Yeah, I've never stopped there, but my aunt always gets something sweet, like a, you know, boysenberry something or other. Is that a real thing?
I don't know.
Try the apple butter.
Apple butter. Yeah, exactly. But yeah, what did you?
It was great. It was a work trip. It was just kind of cool because I don't think I would have ever had the opportunity to sit down with, you know, a room full of Amish men, like leaders in the community, and talk business about it. Yeah, like we were, you know, just it's a family. It's friends of Patrick's, and they contacted us and wanted just, you know, some, I don't know, for us to come and visit them now that they moved from Ohio to New York, and so like you should come up and visit and meet everyone and be a great opportunity to say hello and start again. But yeah, it was a really interesting opportunity. Toured some of the farms. That's cool. I don't know.
Do you guys know the show? Sorry to interrupt. The show where the kids do their Rumspringer.
Do you know about
the show?
What's it called?
I don't know. But they actually were filming in Williamsburg, and they approached. I guess they were asking people around the neighborhood where it'd be cool to go, and some people said, "Oh, I don't know who did it, but two different people said you should go to Momo. You should have them talk to Phil." And so they kind of came and I signed a con. I think I signed something, and they were supposed to bring it in, and then it just never happened. But I was so excited to take young minds and corrupt them like Plato and Aristotle and Socrates before
me in New York.
Yes. Drugs and sex are good.
We were actually talking about Rumspringa, and I guess it's not. Of course, it's not what it's really like, how they portray it on TV.
But I mean, it's pretty subjective. It's like they get to go out for a year and do whatever they want. So I think there's probably been some examples that are way worse than the show.
I'm
sure there are. It's very scripted, I think. Yeah, very scripted. Yeah. Everyone seemed in the community seemed like kind of like amazingly content. Like I can't really imagine. You know, even the younger kids I met to be comfortable, going out. Because you got, imagine, like, you're so far outside of your comfort zone. It's not like you just flip a switch and all of a sudden you're having MTV Brand of Fun. You're just...
Oh, man. I love that MTV Brand of Fun. Spring Break?
Yes.
Something like that.
Spring Break,
every week is Spring Break for me.
Except for when it's freaking freezing out.
Feels like 20 below.
It's warmed up. It's 40
today's nice. The sun. The sun was warming me today.
Melting all the ice, making it yucky.
Yeah. Slushy.
You're so over this, Phil.
I'm so over this,
Are you snow over this?
I'm snow over this.
Puns. Don't
buzzing.
Stop.
All right. See you guys later. Come on, Dad. Oh, man.
So I guess we can talk with you some, Ted, about, I don't know, different jobs, getting into acting and what that's like, what that entails. You know, for all our listeners that maybe are considering an acting career, what they can expect in the beginning and
I feel
through
like
the many ups and downs.
I would love to, take them by the shoulders, like in Billy Madison, where Adam Sandler, shakes him, the kid's oh, Billy, I can't wait to get to high school. And he's like, don't ever leave. Hey, Ted, I can't wait to be an actor. Don't do it. You will struggle maybe for always. I think the first play I did was when I was in maybe third grade. I was in Stone Soup, and I was narrator number 13. And I forget what line I had, but I had a line. My mom made my costume. It was pretty sweet. And then from then on, I was just like, man, give me a stage. Give me one of those picture takers. Just get my face out there to the world. And then the next thing I did was Grease Lightning, and that was then from then.
What character did you play in Grease?
I played, he had a sort of a silly, naughty name, Duty. He was one of the greasers, and I had my own song. I played Those Magic Changes.
Now, what is Grease Lightning?
I meant Grease. I just call it Grease Lightning.
Okay, cool. Awesome.
That's, how my brain works.
On a Sunday.
Yeah.
A little hungover.
Yeah,
Duty.
Just a little bit. Duty. Oh, what a great part. But then I got out of high school and college and started to come I was in Rochester for a while. I went to a school in Rochester, in the University of Rochester, and lived there for a while. And started doing improv. It was a lot of fun. And I did that for a while, and I did a million different odd jobs. A lot of them involved food. I catered for a while. I catered bar mitzvahs, a lot of bar mitzvahs, some bat mitzvahs.
Okay.
I know a lot about bar mitzvahs and bat mitzvahs. A lot of young birthday parties. That was my specialty.
Kid shows.
And I touched all their food. I feel like we had a connection because my hands were on their food. And they were clean. They're always clean.
Rochester, you did the kids series. Wonderful Wally, what was that?
Wonderful. I did a kids
Watch
series.
Out.
It's a Watch Out Wilson.
Watch Out Wilson.
We did one specific episode, which was about fire safety, and I was basically like a bumbling
TV
fool.
Show.
TV show, yeah, wow. Yeah. It actually circulates now supposedly in the Rochester City School District. So I imagine if I go back in 10 years, there's going to be a bunch of 16, 18-year-old kids that are like, hey! Well, they won't recognize me because I'll be hideous and old and
come in with your leather jacket and your sunglasses. Exactly. No autographs.
Hey, I also did a film that supposedly played in Thailand a little bit, so I feel like those are my two markets, like Rochester teenagers in like 10 years and maybe some random Thai people. I'll go over there and they'll be like, oh, you're a funny white guy.
Have you been to Thailand?
Yeah, a few times.
Yeah, it's cool, right?
I love it. Yeah, you've been?
I've been, yeah.
Yeah, it's... Also, I've been to the city with another sort of naughty name, Bangkok.
Bangkok?
I don't even know if I could say that.
You can say that.
Okay. Should I bleep it out?
Fuck it.
Bleep.
Phuket.
Phuket. Yeah. And I've never been to the beach, though. I've always wanted to go to the beach in Thailand, but
pretty,
I've never been.
It's pretty special.
Cool? How did you go to Thailand and you weren't... Were you inland?
I was inland. Well, Bangkok is like sort of... Landlocked. It's like a crazy city. It's so big. It's nuts. I always compare things to New York. I'm just like, New York is the biggest city in the world. And then Thailand's like, what is this place? And like, there's no, like, you can't cross a street because there's just like constant,
chaos
and traffic and nobody stops. And like, I didn't go to Vietnam, but my cousin who lived in Thailand at the time told me about going to Vietnam and how in order to cross the road, you just got to like suck it up and go.
Yeah.
And people just like drive around you. And I was like, I don't know if I could do that. I'd probably just freak out and
start clotheslining people on your heads.
Yeah, I'm not that athletic.
No. But yeah, he likened it to a river of salmon. And you just walk through. I guess apparently salmon just swim around you when you walk in the river.
You know, just remembering this, I revisit this thought periodically over the years, but they have these things in Thailand, and I've never seen them anywhere since, and I've been a lot of places, but they, like, so if you're in a cab or something, you're standing next, so they're sitting on a motorcycle, and it looks like this, like, just ridiculous race bike. It looks like a some 1100... CC Ninja, and then when you get behind them, it's just a moped, but just like with the skin of a big racing bike. So it's only less than a foot wide, but on this from the side, it looks like this big bulky race bike, but it's just a moped. I think those would be a hit in New York.
Yeah, yeah, that'd be great. I gotta get me one of those.
I'm talking to a guy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I just always get the delivery guys that ride those bikes that have like sort of like motors on them.
Yeah,
that just like blows my mind. How do you do that? How do you put a motor on a bike? I don't even know.
I know. We were calling it Bushwick Drift. They were like turning the corners in the back, the back wheels.
They're always going the wrong way on a one way.
Yeah, but with all the ice and mush. You know,
I have no
idea. Always on the sidewalk, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Bushwick Drift.
Bushwick Drift. That's great. That'd be a great film, I think.
All right. Well, I guess we should probably go to break and come back and talk some more about all of these very scheduled topics that we've been touching on.
Yes, we're right on schedule.
Yeah.
All right, see you in a minute.
Born from discord and harmonies, raised by the rays of the falling sun, cruel outrage of our true cupid, they snap the killer of the mighty.
You are listening to Daphne and Apollo by Odetta Hartman, and this is The Main Course.
Thank you. follows the rain does. And so I tip a gold to Chipotle. Ignites the heart and turns the other tear. As animals are God to glory is so much less than violence. Animals are God to glory is so much less than violence.
The following program was brought to you by S. Wallace Edwards & Sons. Edwards Suriano hams are aged to perfection for no less than 400 days and hickory smoked to achieve a deep mahogany color. The Edwards name is well known for its world-class aged and cured meats. Their exclusive curing and aging recipe produces a unique flavor profile that enhances the quality characteristics of Berkshire pork. Optimum amounts of pure white fat marbling contribute to a flavor that's a delicate, perfect balance between sweet and salty. For more information, visit edwardsvaham.com.
We are students at Girls Prep, and you're listening to Heritage Radio Network.
Hi, and welcome back. Main course, we have Ted Limpert on today.
Hello.
What are we laughing at? I miss it.
You don't want to know.
No. All right. Well,
I was just talking more about eating people. That's
really a theme.
Not safe for work. Everybody's in danger.
Well, I guess while we're on the subject of eating people, we were talking in the break about different service jobs that you work while, I don't know, trying to support yourself as an actor.
Yeah, I feel like that's certainly a lot of what I do, but a lot of what I hear about is like actors are, you know, usually waiters or bartenders or servers or caterers, and I did most everything, all of the above. Plus, I give out. I worked as a sampler or a sample, a giver of samples. For the first job I had was with Red Jacket Juices.
Oh yeah,
yeah, and I worked for them for a while, giving like pouring little cups for everybody. The different juices. I went to like Whole Foods and you know, like farmers markets all over the place,
and other Whole Foods.
But yeah, I became an expert in giving the samples.
Wow.
And the best part about it was that I got to a lot of the stuff I do is motivated by free food. Like I got to drink all the juice I wanted. I couldn't have said that. I no longer work for them, but I probably would have gotten, you know, my pay docked or whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would just be drinking juice all day, and that juice was so good. I gave a juice sample to Questlove one time.
Ooh,
Questlove loves the juice.
Questlove loves food.
And he loves food.
He's on the
he's
board
on the Roots.
No, yeah, he's in the Roots, but he's on the board for the Museum of Food and Drink. Like he's like super involved in
super
in food and
guy.
Food culture. Yeah,
yeah.
I've met him a couple times. He's just as nice as can be. He's
oh yeah,
a sweetheart.
Oh yeah. He was so good. Actually, I think I didn't give him juice. I think I gave him. I also worked for a chocolate company called.
You're getting
Rocca.
Your samples confused.
Yeah, I get my samples. I just give out so many samples because once I started with the juice, I was like, man, I'm good at this. I was like, where else can I give out? What else kind of samples can I give out? You know, I'm giving out samples left and right. So I signed up to work for a few of my buddies own this chocolate company, Rocca. Real good. Check it out. But I started giving out their little chocolate nibs. And I was like, still going to Whole Foods, giving out nibs left and right. And then I think I gave nibs to Questlove, and he loved the chocolate, definitely. And then I also gave, my favorite movie in the world is Matilda, and I forget her name, but the mother in Matilda.
Rhea Perlman.
I gave her chocolate nibs. Oh, man. I was so nervous. I was like shaking, handing her the nibs.
Danny DeVito's wife in real life.
Danny DeVito's wife, yeah. I think, are they?
They're divorced.
They divorced. No, are they?
For a few years.
I don't believe it.
I know.
No one wanted to see that one happen.
Yeah.
Little tragic. People being in love.
That's yeah, just... I know. It's so cute. She was so tiny, too. It was great. And I wanted to be like, hey, is your daughter still magic? Did you? You just left her behind.
My girlfriend saw Matilda on Broadway, and she said it was just like the best thing ever.
Oh, I actually saw it, too. I loved it. I feel like I've had, I'm so in love with the movie. I was like, "Where's Danny DeVito? What the hell? Where's you know?
Where's that guy from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia?"
yeah, exactly. It's just like, although the Broadway show was awesome, and the Trunchbull I thought was like in the Broadway show. The guy that played the Trunchbull was a phenomenal.
Wait, there's the Trunchbull was a guy?
The Trunchbull, well, it was a woman, but it was played by a man.
Oh.
Yeah.
I don't think Danny DeVito has aged. I saw an episode of Taxi,
yeah,
and he looks exactly like
yeah
he does.
No, that's...
Yeah, well, the trick is that he was 46 when he was 23, I think.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So...
Yeah.
He was like Benjamin Button.
You know, he was in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Really?
Do you know that?
Oh, he was. He's one of the crazy guys.
He's one of the crazy guys.
Yeah.
I haven't seen that movie.
Like him and then the giant Native American.
Yeah. Oh, that's a great movie.
Yeah, if you go back and look at that, there's like all these like just bit actors.
That's funny. Danny DeVito is I love him. You know, in Matilda, he was the narrator. He was, in it as the father. He was like the executive producer. He was like all the, he probably catered it too. Like he's just like doing everything in that movie.
Is that why you like Matilda so much?
The
Danny DeVito factor?
Yeah. Also the magic, the magical powers. I think that's pretty exciting.
Do you like Harry Potter?
I do. Not so much. I don't know. I'm not so much into wizards. I like more like your average person getting some magical powers. I feel like Harry Potter was like a little bit, he was chosen or whatever.
Yeah.
Matilda was just like some average girl that was like, I'm so angry, and now I can make things move with my hands. Without my hands, rather.
I can make things move with my hands. It's magic.
Woo!
Look, I'm wiggling my fingers. It's magic. It kind of is magic.
I do magic. I know it is. That's the human body is magic. That's what I find all the time. It's making weird noises and just like surprising me all the time.
Processing
things. I
didn't
know I could do that.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
We're little factories. We're just like little factories.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like
you put the fuel in.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, man. But yeah.
What were you guys talking about McDonald's?
Heather.
Oh, McDonald's announced, I guess, last week their plans to reduce antibiotics
like
in their
soap?
Chickens.
They put soap in their chicken?
By 10%. It's only going to have 90% of the antibiotics as before.
Only 90%
soap.
Yeah,
and I guess over the next 2 years, they want to move towards using chicken with zero human antibiotics.
That's interesting.
I don't know. I guess it's supposed to be news, isn't it? It always strikes me as like that's just how it should be.
The thing is, it's not that they're doing it for, I mean, I guess the right reason, for lack of a better word, but like for lack of a better phrase, but they're not doing it for the right reasons. They're doing it to kind of like trick people into thinking, oh, it's good for me.
Yeah.
You know, like
it's marketing.
Like there's less antibiotics, and then like look at the other ingredients change.
Well, I'm actually I drink the McDonald's Kool-Aid.
Do you?
I love it. I actually have my stock portfolio is filled out with some McDonald's stock.
Yeah?
It's pretty strong.
It's a
pretty strong stock. I get like 10 cents a year. It's pretty sweet. Yeah. Like checks for 10 cents. I have to write it off on my taxes, But every time I go in,
look at this guy.
Yeah, yeah.
He's never had someone so interactive on the other side.
You know him? I have no idea who this guy is, but he's great.
Can we describe for anyone who's listening? There's a guy on the other side of the glasses touching his nipples.
You dare me?
He's just trying to have a nice meal, guys, and maybe his nipples itched or something.
Make Joel laugh.
Hey. He's not. He's so professional.
Yeah.
He's not.
He would never crack. He would never crack. He's like a British soldier. He's just not laughing at all. We got a smile. Hey. Oh man, I can't deal with this window. I feel like it's like a fish
bowl. I didn't see that movie War Horse, but Joel looks like he could be an extra in it.
Yeah. Oh yeah. No, War Horse. I saw War Horse the movie. I didn't see the movie. I saw the Broadway show.
Really?
It was crazy. It was a horse made out of sticks. It was a puppet. It was like I think the same puppet people that made The Lion King made this horse. So cool.
Julie Taymor.
She's magic. Let's talk about magic some more.
She's a real Matilda.
She's a real Matilda.
She did that stuff with her hands.
Did
Can
she?
You believe that?
Oh,
literally.
Man. She did.
And
you're
felt.
Right.
And probably a hot glue gun.
Yeah.
Did you ever see Titus?
Titus the...
Anthony Hopkins.
No.
She wrote and directed it.
It's really?
Amazing.
It's good? Oh, I gotta see that. She's a real life magician.
We're talking about McDonald's and appealing to like people, but I think it's just a fun fact if you guys don't know. But do you know about what White Castle does on Valentine's Day?
No.
They do table service and take reservations.
Really? I love White Castle.
Yeah.
Does that fill up?
I think so. Yeah. I mean, maybe they're doing it less now, but it used to be like White Castle on Valentine's Day. You can make a reservation and there's a waiter. which I love. I think what the thing is, though, is that if like, you know, if you're a girl and you have a boyfriend that takes you to White Castle, if your boyfriend's poor and he does that, it's really trashy. But if your boyfriend's rich and you do it, it's really romantic.
Is it?
Yeah, like, you know, man, last year I took standard. You to La Bernardin. This year we're going to do something. It's really super fun and romantic.
We're going to live like the people.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
Let's go to White Castle like the people.
It's like out of a movie.
Is it unfair? I love White Castle. I guess I grew up with it.
I literally have had it maybe four or five times, twice or three times drunk, and every time it just like... Just it's disgusting. I don't like it at all.
Really?
Yeah, I just find it like, and I'm not against fast food, and you know, but it's just inedible to me, all of it.
I think it's because I grew up on it, because that was
Play-Doh.
My dad's drunk food growing up. That, you know, I don't know. So yeah. Like when we were kids, that was like our treat, his throwback.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't have it around. It wasn't in, or like as far as I knew.
Give me some cat food and some crackers before that.
Oh, God.
Not even good cat food.
I'll eat some of that roach jello before I'm going to eat White Castle.
No, I'm just, because we're criticizing McDonald's for their sourcing practices, but there are plenty of other fast food restaurants, chains that we choose not to, Steak and Shake, things that have a little more, you know, sentimental appeal.
Sure.
I don't know if that's fair.
It's just that McDonald's is
just so large,
so huge.
Yeah,
like how big of a difference does Steak and Shake make in the long run?
True,
probably a little bit, but you know, McDonald's is the big one.
What are like the top ones in New York? There's like, I feel like I see everywhere. There's McDonald's, Subway, Dunkin' Donuts. I feel like that's a top tier. I don't see a lot of Burger Kings out here.
I used to live in Rome, and there was a McDonald's near Piazza di Spagna, the Spanish Steps.
Yeah.
And on the first floor, you could literally, it was an espresso bar and pastries. And it was at, like this literally like 400 or 500 year old, like marble well, thing. And there's marble on the walls. And second floor was like a salad bar. And then the third floor was McDonald's.
Well, that's why Slow Food. That's why Carlo Petrini started Slow Food, was in reaction to the McDonald's opening on the steps of the, or on the Spanish Steps.
Is that true?
That is the event.
I used to live a block from there.
Slow Food. Yeah.
Really?
It's McDonald's opening, because it was seen as like this cultural, appropriation, or just like really changing of the culture to put something so iconically Western and just that just spits in the face of traditional food culture in such a visible, important place.
Mm-hmm.
But I was reading in another article this week, I guess there's... You were saying, Phil, you said that the food truck, McDonald's is doing a food truck in Austin.
South by Southwest.
By Southwest. There's also, but just like fast food restaurants are doing like these little boutique shops like Taco Bell. I need to read the full article before I talk about these things on air.
Yeah.
But I guess they were doing like a, you know, like a trendy taco spot and not branding it as Taco Bell.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's like I have these representatives that keep coming by to Momo for some reason. I judged this like some chili cook-off or something, and this thing called Caleb Cola sponsored it. And if you taste it, it's actually really, it's a good soda. It tastes like an artesian.
Caleb,
like the man's name, Caleb. But it's actually just Pepsi, and they're just putting like some like, you know, orange peel and vanilla and making it with real, you know, real sugar and calling it Caleb's Cola. And the branding is almost like Boylan's, like the circle and like really minimal. But it's just, you know, it's just Pepsi trying to cash in on the artisanal cola.
Oh, it's a Pepsi brand.
It's
that's
a Pepsi,
not promoting
it's Pepsi's,
that,
it's
the
Pepsi's
fact that it
fancy
is
Pepsi. Brand.
Yeah, it's like Budweiser owning Blue Moon. Is that the one? Or they have Shock Top. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And then still getting shitting fancy on like craft beers on the side. What was the one? I just want Coke in a can. I don't want Mexican Coke. I don't want real sugar Coke. I don't want bottled Coke. I want like really, you know, burning my tongue, acidic, sugary, carbonated.
Oh my God!
Can.
You know they have that. They have it on draft at the McDonald's on the Spanish Steps. Actually, that Coca-Cola you're talking about.
Get me some of that.
Yeah.
Can I just put my head under it and just like push the button? I guess I did a pulling motion as if I were pulling
a beer
tab, but tap. I'm more of an RC Cola kind of guy.
Love RC Cola.
Love that RC Cola.
Really?
Can't get enough.
I mean, nothing can beat, for me, nothing can ever beat Dr. Pepper. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, Dr. Pepper. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I feel like you, there's no way you could drown in stuff like that because I just drink my way out.
I'm not ashamed to say I went through a Mountain Dew phase.
You did.
But I used to be extreme in a past life, you know.
Isn't there actually a Mountain Dew extreme?
Yeah, there's an extreme. Yeah, it's like weird flavors. Yeah. There, I had a friend who played the trombone in high school, and he would drink Mountain Dew like by the 2 liters like during practice, and then he would you know, you'd have to empty the spit valve, and just this weird green shit would come out of the spit valve. It was so wild. That's my experience with Mountain Dew, and I was just like, I think I'm good. I think I'm good on Mountain Dew.
I'm really not a big soda person in general, but Mountain Dew, I just want. I mean, when
do
I
do the Dew? Did you
when
do,
I was a kid? I did do the Dew.
Whenever you see Mountain Dew, do you get this sudden taste of corroded brass in your mouth?
No, I hear this tuba background music. Boom, boom. Boom, boom, and just, that was the sound of Mountain Dew coming out of the spit valve.
You know when you see a sour candy or even before you put it to your lips, your tongue starts salivating in anticipation. That's just the reaction that happens. Actually, for Ted, for any time you're about to have any meal, it's drooled.
Yeah, I salivating. Just can't help it.
We were talking before about you being an actor and you know, Ted, working in the food industry, but I remember this girl that I worked with named Lana, and I worked at California. Talking about restaurants going corporate. Yeah. California Pete's Kitchen used to actually be a really cool restaurant.
Really?
I don't know if you know that.
No.
There used to be just one in Beverly Hills.
No way.
And then I worked at the third one they ever opened up, which was in Palm Beach Gardens. They used to actually make their own pasta and dough every day.
Oh, wow.
Fresh. It was a really great restaurant. But I worked there, and this girl named Lana, who's an aspiring actress, would every day she would make new name tags and put a different name. You had a name tag and where you were from. So she'd actually practice different. She would spend a week practicing her Australian accent.
Oh, really?
Or she would or Irish. And so she would actually tell people, make these elaborate stories about how she'd just gotten her green card, or she just found a husband and married him, and just make up all these elaborate stories and have a name tag saying that she was from different places.
I should have done that. I wish I had thought of that.
It's never too late.
Yeah, yeah. I could do that.
Improv
right now.
Every day. Hey, you've been perfecting your Australian accent.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. Well, it's a hybrid. It's a person that lives in Australia, New Zealand, and America at the same time.
Yeah.
But it goes, I have to get into it. So. You maybe did. Oh, yeah, nice. Oh, that's real nice. Yeah, right. And then the only thing I can't say in the accent, I mean, it's terrible, obviously, but the only thing I can't say is Bjork. It really gets me out of it. I was like, oh, nice, real nice. Yeah, Bjork. It just sounds like all of a sudden the Swedish chef comes in, Oh, Bjorty, Forty, Smorty, Gordy, Forty. It's I don't know.
My favorite thing is whenever there's no mistaking an Australian accent.
Yeah, yeah.
I can even sometimes mostly tell the difference between New Zealand and Australia. Australians are just Australians.
Yeah.
And I love I always go hey, you're from Wales, right? And then they think I'm serious. I'm what?
You kidding me?
Yeah, Wales. I'm pretty sure. And then oh, I'm from Australia. I'm like, no, I'm pretty sure you're Welsh.
Yeah.
I know accents and argue with them about
you don't know nothing about a Welsh. Something like that. Maybe is that
what was that?
Yeah, that was maybe Scottish, I think. I usually have to when I do impressions, I have to introduce myself. It's me, Al Pacino. Don't you know me from movies The Devil's Advocate? Hooah! Stuff like that. That's or it's me, Robert De Niro. You know me from movies The Taxi Cab, where I talk to myself in the mirror. Me, Robert De Niro.
You should literally do the dad jokes thing about dads doing impressions for their kids' friends to embarrass them, and then do your impression.
Hey, oh, it's me, Christopher Walken. I'm talking a weird way like this sometimes. That's Christopher Walken.
You should do that. Dads embarrassing dad their kids impressions. With their impressions.
I do great dad impressions, I must say. But they're so good. Yeah, sometimes you might mistake me for someone else.
Or for someone else's dad.
Someone else's dad.
I thought I was on the set of Deer Hunter for a second.
Did
Hoo-ah! I did it.
There it is. That was even better. This is when I get excited. I can't do them. People are like, oh, who are you? I was like, don't you remember? I just said my name. I'm Arnold Schwarzenegger.
You're doing it right, Ted.
I'm doing it every day. Every day I wake up. Got to put on my makeup. I say a little prayer for you.
And you.
And you.
And that guy that's been
This guy.
Eyeballing us.
I'm never going to forget this guy. Ooh, I just got a bit of skin.
All right. I don't know where the time went.
Let's go out and sunbathe.
Sunbathe? Yeah. I encourage everyone to go out and sunbathe.
Well, this has been very fun.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Come back
anytime. I think he should be our third wheel someday.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's me. It's Ted. Ted in the back. I can do impressions.
Well, we could have him on as a different person. You'll never know.
Today we have on Robert De Niro. It's me, Robert De Niro.
I want you to start studying videotapes or YouTubes of Thomas Keller.
Okay.
Yeah, and then we'll have Thomas Keller on in 2 weeks.
All right, great. I can do that. Yeah. Where's he from?
He's from... United States.
Yeah. Okay, so I am Thomas Keller right now.
Really quick note: do you know that as a teenager, the first nice French restaurant I ever ate at is where Thomas Keller started washing dishes.
Really?
I have to say that I did not know that about you.
Yeah, yeah. No, but it's kind of a cool thing. It's called Cafe du Parc. It's in the Lake Park, Florida. It's kind of a ghetto neighborhood, and there's just this like little, you know, fancy French restaurant, and that's where he started washing dishes.
Awesome. All right. Well, it sounds like next week.
Well, yeah, we're going to have a lot to talk to
Tom Keller
about.
No, I can't wait to talk to him about it. Yes, Cafe du Parc in Lake Park. No.
I'm in.
Thank you. Happy Sunday.
Yeah, guys. Happy Sunday. Bye.
The theme song for the main course is I Never Had by Breedlove and Chew Fu.
Listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archive programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.